Hi, it's Tyler from 94.7 WLS Chicago. You're listening to Adam Lepp on WGH Talk Radio.
Adam Lepp!
Well, welcome once again, valued listeners, to the Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning coffee, tea, or me break, or whenever you choose to listen to this fine radio program at any rate. Your listenership, your support, your patronage is always appreciated. And just like we always do when I take the microphone at WGH Talk Radio, this will be a fine show. We'll learn a few things, we'll laugh, might even have a little bit of controversy. Either way, it'll be time well spent, so certainly postpone any plans for the next 44 and a half minutes. We have some great vocal cords and dulcet tones to be partaken. Is that a word? I guess that we shall partake of. Without further ado, of course, we have my co-host from Eastern Washington State, formerly his own private Idaho, but as we learned on the last show, now emanating from Eastern Washington State, Mr. Calvin Williams. We will be joined also by season's greetings or greetings for the season or whatever else you wish to greet for. We also will be speaking with Mike Essen, a man with many talents and many interests, although we're going to delve into a couple other topics prior to the main topic. He will be discussing movies, of which he is quite expert at, to put it mildly. I first want to start on a very sad note. This has been a big news story. The passing of the great actor and director and political activist, Rob Reiner. All in the Family, guys, is my favorite show ever. I believe it's the best TV show of all time. It'll never be replaced. Rob Reiner, a star of the program, playing Mike Stivic, Archie Bunker's son-in-law, who was affectionately called Meathead and a few other names. A political activist, an activist whose views the three of us, I would say, do not agree with. For the most part, I would agree with some of his views, but that's okay. This is America. We are freedom of speech, and important that you have your opinions and that you share them so the world knows, because that's how we all grow. So whether or not we agree with Rob Reiner's politics, I don't see that as overly relevant. Just admire him as someone who spoke his mind. Intelligent man with many talents in show business. It's a developing story, but being murdered in his own home along with his wife, I'm extremely saddened. Let me ask you, Mike, when you heard about that story, did a chill go through your veins like it did it in my case?
Oh, very much so. It's more who I expected to hear. I grew up on watching All in the Family. I saw the reruns because I was too young to see the show when it actually came out. I wish I would have, because everybody was so stunned. And I saw a lot of his, you know, I also saw him as a successful director. My favorite of his being Stand By Me. I remember The Princess Bride and When Harry Met Sally and A Few Good Men. But he also, despite whether you agree with his political views, he was a man of conviction. And he was also somebody who I think surpassed his great late great father Carl Reiner, who was a man of his own talents and abilities. I think he was, All in the Family is one of my favorite shows as well. I'm one of these people, he wasn't on this one, who also liked Archie Bunker's place. I'd like to see Archie in a different setting and a little more mild. That wasn't his show. But I am very saddened by this passing, by this murder, and it'll take a little time for me to heal myself and the country to heal over this.
Yeah, I guess as I brought up, Mike, and even more in your case, because you're, as you say, very conservative, totally opposite of Rob Reiner's politics. We put that aside, right? We respect that he spoke his mind. We don't have to agree with him, that he had convictions. He did what he thought was right, and that's what counts. And you know, I've never didn't have the pleasure of meeting Rob Reiner, but in my autograph and show business groups that I follow on Facebook, a lot of talk and photos of people with Rob Reiner he happily signed autographs, interacted with fans. He loved his fans. He appreciated every minute that people supported him, and that's good to hear. And I'm not sure what else I can say, but totally sad.
I agree with you. I want to add something to that, if I may. I never turn people away for their political views. There's a lot of good people that way, and I wish I wish the country would heal from that, from the sickness where they hate people because they're the left or the right. And I think that this is a time maybe when we can do that over Rob Reiner. I mean, I don't know what he was like personally, but he seemed like a man who cared. He had a good heart. He is a public image. He certainly entertained me for so many years, and I'm thankful for that. And you mentioned he was very loyal to his fans, so what else could you ask somebody who is in the entertainment field? And I know he was considering running for governor, and I know he was very opposed to Larry Elder. Certainly didn't like Donald Trump or any conservative I could think of, but that's okay. These people aren't my family, and I don't take it personally. So this is like a politician who I may have voted for or may not have voted for.
Yeah, sometimes you just wake up, guys, and you turn the news on. I mean, nowadays with Facebook and websites and Twitter, texting, there's instant knowledge of what happened. And, I mean, it's good and it's bad. It's good to know what's going on, and we want to grieve appropriately, of course. But it just does hit you all at once. And so hopefully we can heal. And, you know, Rob, just let him know that, and his family and friends know, he made a big impact on me, on the family again. Best show ever. Never be replaced. As a movie aficionado, Mike, and again, today's main topic of movies, I know Spinal Tap kind of came up, and that's a music-related movie. Perhaps on your list of movies that we will be discussing later, Rob Reiner will make a presence as a director or actor. I guess we shall find out. Calvin, I guess you're younger, but you know, you are beyond your years in many ways. What were your thoughts about the murder of Rob Reiner?
Well, I will start by saying both of you crucify me for this if you must, but I've actually never seen All in the Family. But the whole situation, regardless, is so unfortunate and sad.
Yeah, no other way to say it. Please do watch the show, Calvin. It's hilarious. And
love it.
Yeah, Archie Bunker, enigmatic, like many TV characters. Like we often see on the protagonist on a TV show, as you can attest to, Mike, the person comes across as gruff, maybe mean, cold-hearted, but inside, Archie had an absolute heart of gold. He wasn't perfect. He said what's on his mind. He was funny, didn't always really mean what it sounded like he meant. Again, it's a fictional character, but I think you'd agree, Mike. Inside, Archie Bunker was one of the warmest people you'd ever see on TV. And he and Mike really...
Oh, yes. I mean, there were so many examples where Rob Reiner's character, Mike Stivic, had an appendix. He was going to have an appendix operation. He paid for it. I remember when he was on later in All in the Family in Archie Bunker's place, the same thing happened. Remember when he adopted his niece, Stephanie?
Yes,
and
yes.
Her father was a deadbeat dad, and he pretended that she got a gift from him, and his name was Floyd. And Stephanie said, "Thank you, Uncle Archie." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Nobody spells Floyd P-H-L-O-Y-D."
Yeah.
And he always went out of his way to go out to help people. And he even stopped the man from committing suicide on the show. And he even went out of his way for Edith. And deep down, he liked Mike Stivic.
They grew to love each other. And that just happens when the man marries the daughter that you treasure so much. Again, it's just a TV show, but had such an impact on society. And Rob Reiner going on to be such a great director. Also saddened by the death of Carl Carlton. You may be familiar with him, gentlemen. He had one of my favorite songs of all time. It's actually a song that's been covered by many artists, including Gloria Estefan. That would be Everlasting Love. Carl Carlton's version from, I believe, 1974. It was outstanding. Also had a hit called She's a Bad Mama Jamma, a more humorous type of song. A well-known R&B pop music artist, and very saddened to hear that also. Sometimes these things come in bunches. And also the news out of Australia, Mike, I'm not sure what to say about that. Do you have any comments? I mean, as you are Jewish, it's the beginning of Hanukkah when we are starting the broadcast of this program. I'm totally saddened by that. I don't know what to say. If you had any thoughts, Mike, I'd like to hear them.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, happy Hanukkah to all your Jewish listeners, and it's evil. These people are not human beings; they're Homo sapiens. To just massacre and shoot people and assassinate for hate is sick. And I'm a proponent of the death penalty, and I believe these people should get it. I don't know what the law is there, but people who know me know I'm a very strong supporter of it, and I hope they do it. With a trial, but reasonably swift. There is no justice but that for these people.
Okay, well, no disagreement here, Mike. And well spoken, as usual. Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, which you can listen to through the TuneIn app. You can tune in by searching for WGH Talk. And you can also go to our esteemed website, curated and hosted and programmed and all that good stuff by yours truly, WWGH1071.com, joined by Mike Essen, a man of many talents and interests and topics of which to speak, and of course, my regular co-host, microphone mate, brother in broadcasting, Calvin Williams. So, boys, the topic today, again, was movies. I wanted to cover some unfortunate news stories first, as I think it is appropriate, especially in the case of Rob Reiner, who's had a tremendous impact on pop culture and the movie business. So, Mike, tell us about the topic regarding movies, your favorite movies, and why our listeners should keep tuned for the next 34 minutes. And again, not only will we learn something, we might laugh a bit and have some controversy, which is all part of the equation here at the station.
Movies is not only my passion, it's a passion of many people. I get into the reasons why I love these films, not to say it's good, it's bad, it's stupid, it was funny. And I have a 10 best list of all time I'd like to go over. A lot of these are family friendly. One is not in particular. Number 10 on my list is the only film in the 21st century called The King's Speech with Colin Firth. This film is as much as stand up and cheer. It's about King George VI, who has a stuttering problem. And he has to make a speech to Britain and the Nazis during World War II over the radio. He develops relationships with his wife, who is beautiful, his teacher, played by Jeffrey Rush, which is beautiful, the dynamics with his kids. It's one of the best performances I've seen by Colin Firth, but everybody else was so wonderful, too. It exemplifies the messages of courage and love, and it's as much a stand-up and cheer movie as Rocky, which is one of my favorite movies as well. Number 9 is my favorite actor, Jimmy Stewart, in Anatomy of a Murder, the best courtroom movie ever made. It's a 2-hour, 45-minute movie, which feels like it's an hour of a movie. It's so riveting. It's great. There's surprises at every turn. And I thought that, and I didn't see this until about 5 years ago, but I wish I would have seen it earlier, and I'd see it for the first time. It was a treat. Everyone knows I'm a baseball fan who knows me. And part of the Yankees with Gary Cooper, the story of Lou Gehrig is number 8 on my list. It's debatable whether this is a better love story or a baseball movie with scenes on such a small screen like BB from ESPN. But the final analysis doesn't matter. It's beautiful. It's again about achieving your dreams. It celebrates America's greatest game so well. 7 is my favorite animated movie, 1991 version of Beauty and the Beast, a movie that it's about love, redemption. It's like 2 other movies on my list that I won't mention until I'm there. You love as a kid, you love it more as an adult. I'll mention one of them now. Number 6 is my favorite movie, the 80s E.T. E.T. has the most beautiful friendship in movies. Everybody knows this movie, I would think. It's such a classic. We've seen Elliot E.T. Spielberg, to me, is the greatest director of all time. It has so many moments where you laugh, you cry, you're riveted, you feel part of the series. The bike fight scene and the score was so magical. And there were just so many moments of poignancy where you just want to see it again and again, you'll love it more. 5 on my list is my favorite movie of the 90s is Forrest Gump. This is a movie of genius. Tom Hanks gave a perfect performance. I mean that literally, a perfect performance as the 72 IQ Forrest Gump. He went through every moment in history, but more than that was his love for his childhood and adult friend Jenny. And there were scenes like where you see the smiley face from the 80s, Have a Nice Day, how that originated, Watergate, his, the candiest, the kid, him taking a picture with JFK. But it was such a beautiful, lovely film. People forget Sally Field was in this film. It was her best movie, too. Number four, how appropriate is Christmas Time? It's a Wonderful Life. Funny thing is, I mentioned in our last show, I don't see this as a Christmas movie. I'll give it to the world. But it's an anti-suicide film. It should be played at every hospital. That, at the end, takes place on Christmas. It's about childhood love. It's about appreciating your life. It's about gratitude. It's just such a, Jimmy Stewart, who's my favorite actor, has never been better. I love his moments of drama, his moments of comedy, the way he stood up to the banker, and you'll never get a better feel-good ending. Number three is the original, I can't say it's the original, it's really a remake of a 1925 film, a 1939 version of The Wizard of Oz. Every moment of this movie is magical. The ending is beautiful. The characters are brilliant. The Wicked Witch of the West, Margaret Hamilton, you don't get a worse villain except maybe in my number two movie. It's a movie I can see over and over again. You love it as a kid, you love it more as an adult. Number two is the most adult movie on my list. My favorite movie of the 70s. Neil Milo's form is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I consider Jack Nick, you were riveted in this movie like you've never been before. It's about freedom, it's about authoritarianism, it's about standing up for yourself. It's about knowing when to say no or yes to authority when you may get punished. It's about believing in yourselves. And when Jack Nicholson gave the best performance ever, and everybody else, Danny DeVito, Christopher Lloyd got the stars and darned him in this movie. It's an incredible film. Number one is The Sound of Music. It's the best entertainment experience of a lifetime. Every pixel is magical. It's 20 years before its time in understanding children, if not 40. The music is great, but it's the least of it. The love story, every scene in this movie is pitch perfect. That's my top 10.
Well, that's quite a list, Mike. Wanted to also delve into maybe 10 of the least favorite movies, and again, in honor of Rob Reiner, discuss Spinal Tap or some of his other works. But before we do that, let's take a break and switch gears a little bit. On the last program, Calvin, I had the pleasure of speaking with a personal friend of mine, a real live major market drive time disc jockey, Tyler. Give you a little secret. That's not his real name, but that is his air name. And, you know, when you're really famous and important, you do that do that kind of stuff. So anyway, Calvin, you co-hosted the program. Let me ask you first, what was it like co-hosting and talking with a real live major market afternoon drive disc jockey?
Well, to say the imposter syndrome was real is an understatement. Kind of felt like being in the presence of royalty, you know, but you have the three of us coming together on a show, three amazing radio voices, and I would arguably say it's probably one of the best shows that we've done. And there was, like any show we've done, we barely scratched the surface of topics to be talked about, and I can definitely say he's probably going to be on our list of repeat guests.
Yeah, he will definitely be making a return appearance. There were other questions I wanted to ask him. For example, the celebrities that he's met, including Taylor Swift. So it happens, you know, when you work in Chicago radio, but he's worked in so many major cities. You kind of come across these people. So that is one of the topics that may be covered on a future program. But it was kind of cool. You know, I sometimes find my own way of meeting some interesting people. He certainly would be near the top of that list. And Mike, you listen to the program, you know, as a man with great dulcet tones yourself and not one to shy away from an opinion. What was your opinion of not just the program itself and the fine co-hosts, but the disc jockey guest himself?
I thought he was very good, a very talented man. He knew the business. The one thing I liked that he was talking about was it's an innate characteristic to be a talk show host. I tell people to be successful. I've told people this off the air, too. It's like you or I making the Red Sox. He didn't say it like that, but he implied that. He implied how much he loved his work and how much, and the songs he played, the thrills he gets from it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely. You learn something, you laugh, and you're enriched by listening to or participating in these radio programs and associated broadcasts. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WGH Radio, with my co-host, Mike Essen, our guest, though he's kind of like a co-host because he's been on with me many times, and he's been on, of course, with Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars himself, and my regular mate of the microphone, Mr. Calvin Williams. Now, Mike, we've discussed Rob Reiner, a man with many talents. I imagine you've seen Spinal Tap and his other myriad works. Let us know about his talents as a director. Do you think he made a good transition from being a main character on a popular TV show to a well-known director? What are some of your thoughts of that, and on the evolution of his career? Because we do see many actors and actresses make that transition from being on camera to being behind the scenes, and sometimes they kind of do both.
I think he made it very quickly. If you look at his last performance was on All in the Family. He was on he had a cameo in 1979 Archie Bunker's Place, and then 5 years later he made this a Spinal Tap in 1984. 2 years later, I think his masterpiece was Stand By Me, a magical, wonderful film about understanding, about standing up to bullies, about even finding the body you hope they find so much. I love that movie. And then right after that, he makes another wonderful fairy tale called The Princess Bride. He made so many movies after that. He made a movie in 2008 called Enough Said. It reminds me of Adam Calvin, of Ron Howard, who was in Happy Days, Andy Griffith Show, then Happy Days, and then transformed and making Splash a few years later. A very good movie with Daryl Hannah and Tom Hanks when he was strictly known for being a comedian. I think he made a wonderful transition, and the thing is, people today will remember him as director, but people Adam and my age will know that he was originally Mike Stivic, a.k.a. the Meathead, and All in the Family.
Yeah, I guess Ron Howard being similar. Now, Ron Howard started as a child on the Andy Griffith Show, was well-known, you know, a co-star of Happy Days, and a well-known director. There just are some similarities there, and it just shows an overall talent in the business. And again, I think in Rob Reiner's case, as we can attest to, nobody, I think, at least among people I know, Mike, would be a better example that you can put your differences in politics with Rob Reiner aside and realize what a talent he was. And I still have to pinch myself to realize that he is gone, that I watch All in the Family, and of the original stars, the only one remaining is Sally Struthers. And I know from what I've seen, Sally Struthers and Rob Reiner were close. They considered themselves like brother and sister. And I could just imagine what Sally is thinking right now. Totally tragic. I guess Spinal Tap kind of comes to mind, Mike, as that's a music-oriented movie. I've not seen Spinal Tap. Again, my experience with movies is a smidgen of yours, but let me know if you've seen Spinal Tap, and what's your thought on some of these musical documentary or music-oriented movies? What's their kind of effect on pop culture?
You mean musicals or mockumentaries? Sorry,
either one. I mean, there's certainly the overlap there. Mockumentary, biopic. All these little words. I mean, they're still films, so they just have different.
I think they have a major impact. Even the last several years, you see movies like Les Miserables, which was an excellent movie. I couldn't stand Rent. I thought the characters were bland. But regardless of that, it's a genre that has made a comeback. The one I cannot recommend highly enough to your audience is In the Heights with Carmen Lynn Miranda. But I think that with Rob Reiner, it showed a lot of brilliance. He was in the movie itself. I don't usually like mockumentaries, but I did like Spinal Tap because the characters are so funny. The dialogue was so witty. It was typical of his talents. But musicals bring out joy with people. They bring out two things people love, movies and music. When you combine them, and you can do it successfully, it's brilliant. But I want to say some of the worst movies I've ever seen have been musicals. If I can name a few, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. I love the Bee Gees. I love the Beatles. I love their music. But when the Bee Gees sing Beatles songs, they're trying to save the town from the evil Mr. Mustard. Do I need to say much more? Grease 2, sequel to Grease, was an atrocity. The pirate movie. Man of La Mancha, one of the best stage plays ever. You have to see the movie to see how bad it is. So musicals are a gamble. There are many that are in the middle. They're either excellent or they're atrocious. And I find they're getting a little better these days. Spielberg is a great director. To be the greatest director ever shows. Only he could remake West Side Story and make it as good as the original. And he did that. And I love the movie. I love both of them, especially the remakes.
Yeah, I mean, West Side Story being the modern day Romeo and Juliet. And, you know, that Romeo and Juliet theme has been used in sitcoms. And I think we'll never tire of the idea that person dates somebody and parents, other family members aren't thrilled with that, or vice versa. The parent might date someone the kids aren't thrilled with. So that's a theme you sometimes see in the small screen and the big screen. And the way we can take a previous concept, a previous movie or TV show, and modernize it. You know, for West Side Story, being a modernization of Romeo and Juliet. Any thoughts on that, Mike? And Calvin, feel free to chime in.
Sure. Yes, I think it's been done in many cases. There was a Leonardo DiCaprio did a horrible Americanized version of trying to eliminate Shakespeare from it. But even on the show we talk about, All the Family, there was one episode, if you remember this, Adam, where Lionel, who was the Jeffersons, if people don't remember, originally the neighbors of Archie Bunker, was dating Archie with Archie Bunker's niece. He was doing. Yep. He was so upset. He was dancing on the floor.
Well, that was one of the best episodes of the whole show. That and Sammy Davis Jr. visiting. I'm not sure they could do anything better. Lionel Mike. Yeah. He was so hilarious, and it's just a shame that when the Jeffersons got their own show, that character was toned down a bit. And then Mike Evans left. Then Damon Evans, no relation, it's a common last name, took over. Mike Evans was working on Good Times, so, I mean, there was reasoning behind that. Mike Evans came back. He wasn't quite, although he had his moments, and Mike Evans was, again, may he rest in peace. We lost him at a young age. He had his moments, but he was never quite like he was at All in the Family. And the show where he was becoming friendly and danced with Archie Bunker's niece, that was absolutely classic.
If I want to mention a wonderful movie like Romeo and Juliet, few people saw this. Denzel Washington is one of our finest actors today. He made a movie called Mississippi Masala, where he dates a Malaysian young lady. It was in 1992. It was a wonderful, beautiful film. It was just a purely beautiful love story where you root for both characters. And guess who's coming to dinner? Going back to 1968 with Katharine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy, and Sidney Poitier. That was an amazing movie where people don't always cave in that easily, but we love happy endings. I love happy endings.
Yeah, guess who's coming to dinner? You brought one up. That's one of my favorites, Mike. How about that? And as you know, Louise Jefferson, Isabel Sanford, was a co-star of that movie. And you probably would agree, Mike, she played kind of a wisecracking maid, not unlike Florence on the Jeffersons. Now, Marla Gibbs, who plays Florence, she's still with us in her 90s, and she has been on with Scott many times. Interesting lady. She's definitely around. She posts to Facebook. So it just, I think there was a bit of an influence there where the inspiration for Florence and, you know, being that wisecracking maid, but one with still a big heart, was influenced by the character Isabel Sanford played on Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And it was, I believe, Spencer Tracy's last performance, that he was very ill during the filming, but still showed what a great actor he was. And that was a good movie, and one I really will never get tired of seeing.
Yes, Spencer Tracy's career goes all the way back to when he was with that Katharine Hepburn in Adam's Rib, and when he did a movie called Boys Town with a young Mickey Rooney, who stepped out of his comfort zone to play a person in a boys' home. I forget the name, Father Flanagan, who's based on a real person. And the performance is there, and Mickey Rooney really did a great job. It was about troubled young troubled youth living in a home. He also did Inherit the Wind, one of the best courtroom movies ever. I didn't see the remake with Jack Lemmon. And, of course, Judgment Nuremberg, about the Nuremberg trials. Spencer Tracy was a wonderful actor, and he had a range. I think that's what I love about Dustin Hoffman, Jimmy Stewart, and many other actors. Tom Hanks, so many other great actors.
Yeah, Tom Hanks, definitely. He has played anything and everything. I remember Big, and he certainly has evolved since then, although his performance there was excellent. So just shows the talent, the versatility of these people. Calvin, did you want to chime in and anything? Some of this might be before your time, but as we've talked about, you are beyond your years in many ways. So if nothing else, maybe we have encouraged you to watch some movies or TV shows and see what you might have missed.
Also, kind of like you've said yourself, Adam, your knowledge of movies is scarce compared to Mike's, and I have to say the same. I will say, Mike, one thing that I now know that we have in common, I'm not the biggest fan of musicals either. The only two musicals I can say that I honestly enjoy are Seven Brides for Seven Brothers and The Music Man, but otherwise, I don't know what it is about musicals, but they've always just irritated me in a way, and I don't know why or how to explain that better. But
I think there's a misunderstanding. I love a lot. Musicals are a gamble. They're either very good or very bad. I love them. My favorite movie is a musical. I loved, of course, Wizard of Oz, the musical, My Fair Lady, King and I, Seven Brides and Seven Brothers, you mentioned, Les Miserables, In the Heights. But when they don't work, they are horrendous. Dr. Doolittle, with the original with Rex Harris, it was horrendous. Besides Talk to the Animals, that was a charmless bore. So I like musicals. And Grease was a wonderful movie. I just hated the sequel so much. So I do like musicals overall, but it's the biggest gamble in movie history.
I will say as well, I also like the original Grease, but not the sequel. Actually, here's a question for you, Mike, and Adam, you can weigh in on this as well. Figured it's the appropriate time of year to ask this. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not?
I say it is, because there was Christmas music, it was based on Christmas, there was Christmas themes of high spirits and joy, so I think, I think It's a Wonderful Life is my favorite Christmas movie. I'd call Die Hard a Christmas movie.
Okay, I was just curious because at work tonight was my last night shift, and my supervisor usually does a little trivia thing in the pre-shift safety meeting, and he asked everyone if Die Hard was a Christmas movie, and it was about a 50-50 divide on yes or no across everyone on my shift.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a debate they've had on sitcoms, they've had it on a lot of shows. I say it is.
I would agree.
I also wonder if it's one of my favorite movies of the 90s. I want to ask, throw this out to you guys. Edward Scissorhands is a Christmas movie. I love that movie.
And that's not one that I've seen, but again, I don't claim to be the movie expert and guru that you are, Mike, but I certainly take your advice when you talk about how great these movies are and look at my own opinion, my own perspective, and see if we can improve ourselves by watching these movies and seeing how talented the actors, actresses, and behind-the-scenes people are.
But Die Hard, I would say, is a Christmas movie. I say it is.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio with Calvin and Mike. Calvin, sorry about that. You were going to chime in for a second.
Yes. So, Mike, one question that I posed to you on, I believe, the first show that we did together, actually, was what is a movie franchise that went on for way longer than it should have. So now I'm going to ask you, what is a movie franchise that you feel got ended too soon? Like maybe it had more potential, they could have done another sequel or spinoff of it.
That is a great question. I think Ratatouille would be my pick. I think it's one of my favorite Pixar movies. They could do so much with that idea. It was so brilliant, so ingenious. I think they can make The Incredibles 2. I didn't like the Cars movies. The Cars 2. I think Ratatouille had potential for at least two more movies.
I would agree entirely. I loved that movie when I was a kid, and I've rewatched it quite a few times just in recent years too.
I guess the quintessential answer for a movie franchise going on a bit too much would be Rocky. I mean, Rocky at Rocky 5, 6, 7, 8. I've lost count. I think we went over this before, Mike, but what are your thoughts on Rocky? Did they do enough, not enough, too many? I'm sure you had an opinion on that.
Sure. I think 4 and 5, they went on too much. It's hard to say. I think they did. Even though I liked Rocky Balboa, to go on to Creed 3 and doing Creed 4 now, eventually you're going to have to call it quits. I hope I'm wrong about this. Sylvester Stallone's pushing 80 now, and he's getting up there in age, and they're going to run out of ideas. So it's going to be Creed's daughter fighting somebody. I just can't imagine. But the original Rocky, you know, is one of my favorite movies of all time. But and 2 and 3 were pretty good, but I think Star Wars is another example of a series. I mentioned this in the last show that went on way too long. They don't stop at this point with Disney Plus, and there was Star Wars Rogue One. And I think also I'm a fan of the Harry Potter series, but Fantastic Beasts was horrible.
Yeah, just like with the TV shows, we bring up All in the Family. Many people felt that when Mike and Gloria moved to California, that the show should have ended. And it went on, and then Jean Stapleton left, although she made a few appearances. Then Archie Bunker's Place went on for 3 or 4 more years. And Archie again changed a little bit. It focused on the saloon, which he expanded. He was successful as a businessman. So, I mean, good and bad. I have mixed opinions on that. I think quite a bit of laughs, though, for that entire period. Then we have one of my other, I would call my second favorite show, Frasier, where Kelsey Grammer played Frasier on Cheers, and then he played it on Frasier for many years, 20-plus years total, I believe. And then after a long hiatus, Frasier came back for 2 more seasons. So there's somebody who played the same character for a long, long time. I think I may have asked you this before, Mike. Are you a Frasier fan as I am, both of the show itself and of Kelsey Grammer as an actor?
Honestly, I've seen very little of the program, so I can't say I'm really. I don't have really an opinion because I've seen like just clips of it. TV shows, I've either seen the whole series of a lot of them, or I've never seen them. So it's kind of like a hit and miss thing. It's strange for a guy who loves movies so much. But as far as Archie Bunker's Place goes, I was a fan of the show. The complaint was he had a new cast and he was more mellow. And I kind of like those two things about it. I thought it was cool to see him with a new group of people and a little kinder. And I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I guess we saw that Archie, of course, people evolve. And again, it's just a TV show. But sometimes people are more intelligent and have more heart than you might think. And it's good to see Archie being self-made, turning the neighborhood tavern that he purchased, which he struggled initially, and then became very successful. And Anne Mira, I loved her character. She was only on for
Veronica Rooney.
Yeah, and her nephew Fred was hilarious. So there was evolution.
Oh, yeah,
evolution in evolution in characters, but the core remained. And Mr. Van Rensselaer, played by Bill Quinn, a veteran actor. As you may know, Mike, he also played Mary Tyler Moore's father on some episodes when they decided that Mary Tyler Moore was such an independent woman, she didn't really need to have her parents on as part of the program. So, great.
I want to mention this show, if I may, since we're on sitcoms, where I thought they should have ended a little early, if I could.
Oh, yes, you go right in. We got about 5 minutes here, as my mama said. Time flies when you're having fun, but we got a few minutes for your dulcet tones, Mike. Go right ahead.
I grew up on that. I still love Different Strokes with Gary Coleman, Conrad Bain, and Todd Bridges. But at the end, Gary Coleman got too old for the part. They did what they call, from the Brady Bunch, the Cousin Oliver syndrome. They brought Phil Drummond got married with a kid. I didn't like it when the new characters came in. I thought instead of having them, Gary Coleman was starting to get like to 12, they should have ended it just there. I thought the show got significantly worse the last 2 years, but I love the show anyways. There are a lot of serious themes on that show too, about pedophilia, about kidnapping, but Gary Coleman's wisecracks. I love Phil Drummond. I love the whole show.
Yeah.
And I, all the housekeepers are great.
Yeah, a lot behind Different Strokes. Dana Plato, again, the tragic story with her, and she was so beautiful and so talented. I mean, Gary Coleman had medical issues. With Conrad Bain, he evolved from a supporting character on Maud to being the star on Different Strokes. Then Dixie Carter, again, who played Philip Drummond's wife, as you mentioned. I agree. I'm not sure that was a great storyline. But she, of course, became one of the stars of Designing Women, so we saw her talents. So I guess that kind of happens. Conrad Bain's character on Maud was a bit different, but again, shows his versatility. I also liked Hello, Larry, which had a connection to Different Strokes, and McLean Stevenson playing the star of that show. Of course, he was a radio host, so obviously that's one of my favorite programs. We can maybe discuss shows about radio on a future show. Of course, WKRP in Cincinnati, another favorite of mine. So just let people wait for the next program and have some anticipation as to what our three dulcet tones might be delving into on a future broadcast. As I mentioned, about ready to wrap up another fine program here on The Talking Place. We appreciate Mike talking about movies, about TV, remembering Rob Reiner, and a few other topics. Any final words, Calvin, as we get ready to hang the microphones up today?
Yes, actually, question for you, Mike. So I'm in a group of people on Facebook that's dedicated to collecting physical media, so people that collect VHS tapes, DVDs, Blu-rays, and have all these massive collections. Do you have a sizable physical media collection?
A lot of things I lost in translation when I moved, so I don't currently, but it's a great medium.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good to have. Yeah, have movies and TV shows in different forms. It's nice to have stuff saved as an MP3, MP4, AVI, but nice to also have a little disc, a vinyl record, or goodness sakes, even an 8-track tape or a reel-to-reel tape or a VHS or beta tape for many, many reasons. Adam here, thank you.
Don't forget Laserdisc.
Oh, that Laserdisc and all the other formats, some of which are a bit obscure at this point. Adam here, thanking you folks for listening. Stay tuned to a listening device near you for a future program. And if you ever miss a program, it's okay. We won't spank you or anything. Just go to our website, wwgh1071.com. And if you would like to email Calvin@wwgh1071.com. Or Adam at wwgh1071.com. And we'll save the best for last. Mike, how can our listeners and fans email or contact you if they had any questions or comments?
Sure. I'm on YouTube. You can type in my name, Mike Essen, ESSEN, for sports, movies, and even some old political commentary. I covered CPAC when I was a talk show host and did some good interviews. And you can email me at MikeEssen@hotmail.com.
Well, thank you again, gentlemen. Adam here, and well, it's kind of wintry outside, so I'm going to go ahead and sit by the heater and enjoy the warmth of not only my domicile, but of the great voices that we have here at the station. So have a great day, happy holidays, and we shall talk to you folks again soon. Adam, the computer guy, .com.